Hello everyone and welcome back to the show. Today we're talking about 10 essential equipment items for advanced athletes. Number one, lifters. So there are four things we want to consider when we're picking a shoe. A shoe can be light to heavy, it can be soft to stiff, it can be round or flat, and it can be low heel to high heel. So those are the four factors that we want to consider when picking a shoe, including a lifter. So I prefer to choose a shoe that is exceptional for Olympic weightlifting. I don't want to make any sacrifices in my force transmission, in the amount of force that I'm applying and the amount that is being of that force that's being transmitted into the floor. So I want a shoe that is going to be exceptional for Olympic weightlifting. So that shoe is going to be heavy or on the heavier side. It's going to be as stiff as possible. It's going to be as flat as possible from heel all the way to the toe at the end of the shoe. And it's going to be a higher heel. So the heel height is a little bit anatomically dependent. If you have long femurs relative to your tibia, then you're going to want a higher heel closer to one full inch. And if you have really short femurs relative to your tibia, then you may want to err more towards the half inch heel elevation. But choose a shoe that is exceptional for Olympic weightlifting, and then use your training shoe for workouts where you need some stiffness, but it also needs to be light. If you want more heel elevation in your training shoe for things like pistols, thrusters, any sort of squatting, then you can use a VersaLift in your training shoe, and I'll get to those later in the episode. This allows you to get the best out of both pieces of equipment, the lifter and the training shoe. So if you have a lifter that's designed for Olympic weightlifters, you have a training shoe that's designed for CrossFitters, which is nice and stiff, but a little bit light. And then you have the VersaLift to make that training shoe more versatile, hence the name. Then you are covering all of your bases. Recently, large companies like Nike and Adidas have been changing the design of their lifters to meet the demands of CrossFitters. So they are more round, especially towards the front. The upper material is not as stiff as it used to be, so there's more movement in the forefoot especially. And this has made the shoe less suitable for lifting and more Metcon friendly. I recommend you get a legit lifter, one that is either one of the earlier Adidas or Nike models like the Romaleos 2 or the Added Power 1s, not the more recent versions of those. Get a legit lifter and use your training shoes with or without VersaLifts depending on the demand of the workout. Okay, so that is lifters. Next, training shoes. So the same four criteria that apply to lifters apply to training shoes. A shoe is either light or heavy, it is either soft or stiff, it is round or flat, and it is low to high heel. So each shoe is going to fall somewhere on each of those four characteristics. What is good for shuttles and box jumps is bad for thrusters and heavy snatches. So there is no one size fits all training shoe. Lately, the training shoes have settled at a relatively stiff set point. So early on, there was a ton of variability in especially the stiffness of the shoes. The Nano 7s were incredibly stiff and heavy and flat. And then the very next year, the Nano 8s were much, much softer and much lighter than the 7s. So if you're getting an earlier model, just make sure you read some reviews and know what you're getting. Ultimately, it comes down to personal preference, and the newer models of training shoes have settled at a relatively stiff set point with a little bit of roundness in the forefoot to make things like double unders, box jumps, shuttle runs manageable, but also very good for lifting. Number three, VersaLifts. So we're starting with all the shoe stuff. VersaLifts are an insert that you put inside your shoe that gives the shoe more heel lift, so your heel will be higher relative to your toe box. And this turns your training shoes into a lifting bias training shoe. So whenever you squat or do a pistol, your knee has to travel forward a certain amount, the ankle has to flex a certain amount, And the longer your femurs are, the more forward knee travel there will be, and the more demand there is on your ankle flexion. So the heel lift, a higher heel lift, closer to an inch, is going to put less demand on your ankle flexion because the heel is elevated. So that's what they do. And if you needed to do pistols and rope climbs, for example, in quarterfinal 21.2, I think it was, be wary of doing any jumping with an elevated heel. So if you're doing things like double unders, shuttle runs, things like that, just be very cautious of doing that sort of thing with an elevated heel. Okay, so those are the first three. If you have really good lifters, a solid training shoe, and some VersaLifts, then you are ready to go with any sort of demand as far as your footwear. Next, straps. Okay, isn't grip super important in CrossFit? Isn't grip tested all the time in CrossFit? Yes, it is. Grip is tested all the time in CrossFit, probably as frequently as anything else is tested in CrossFit. But when you become advanced, straps make grip not the limiting factor in your Olympic lifting and in your accessory work. So if you're doing long weightlifting complexes, if you're doing especially RDLs or straight leg deadlifts, if you're doing suitcase work with dumbbells, things like lunges or split squats or cyclist squats, then straps are going to make sure that your grip is not the limiting factor. You definitely need to train your grip as a CrossFitter, definitely, just not at the expense of everything else. I like to use straps for back exercises as well, and then train the grip directly with things like farmer's holds, standard bodybuilding wrist curls, which are also great, and rig hangs. Next, okay, running shoes. This is only if the competition has running. Most training shoes are fine for shuttle runs. They're going to be round enough at the forefoot to where things like shuttle runs, jumping, box jumps are totally fine. Just if your competition has running, don't be the CrossFitter that shows up to the start line in training shoes. They are going to be much heavier than runners, they're going to be much stiffer than runners, and they're going to be much flatter than runners. So you are putting yourself at a huge disadvantage if you are doing a running event or an event that has a lot of running in a training shoe. I see this all the time every year with Murph, and CrossFitters are doing Murph in a really stiff shoe. You don't need a stiff shoe for air squats. You just don't. So you only need a stiff training shoe if the loads are significant or light, moderate to heavy. But for bodyweight air squats, you certainly don't need a training shoe for that. Definitely wear a running shoe. That would be an example. Next, grips. Okay, everyone has a pair of grips. Everyone has their favorite pair of grips. What most people don't know is they come in two different types of material, and there are two different ways to use them. The two different ways to use them are holeless and flat and the dowel method. Holeless and flat is what we're seeing a lot at the elite level nowadays. This is why they had to put a grip length limit at semifinals, because grips have just been getting longer and longer. And when you do this, there is one piece of material between your hand and the bar. So you're not using the holes at all, and for that reason, it is great for fast transitions. The dowel method, on the other hand, is great for locking in for larger sets. So the dowel method is you put your fingers through the finger holes, and there is excess material between your fingers. And so there is two layers of material between your fingers and the bar. When gymnasts do this, they actually put a piece of wood or a piece of plastic into the dowel, which is illegal in CrossFit. But nevertheless, the dowel method without the dowel itself is not illegal. So that is great for locking in for larger sets. Second thing that most people don't know about grips is that there is some variety in material. So some use genuine leather, and most nowadays use synthetic leather. Synthetic leather is fine, and it will perform really well on coated bars, pretty well on rings, but it will be very, very slick on a spiel bar. So a spiel bar is a non-coated bar. It often looks silver, and if you are not sure whether your bar is spiel, or coated. Just look at the color of it. If it has color to it, then it is probably a coated bar, because spiel bars are that silvery metallic color. Also, you can feel the bar, and if it has any sort of graininess to the texture of it, then it is a coated bar and you are good to go with synthetic grips. But if you are going to compete on a spiel bar, then having a genuine leather pair of grips is essential. Next, number 7, tape. You will tape your thumbs just about every day as a CrossFitter. You will be taping your thumbs all the time. Thumbs will lose all sensitivity, and it is totally okay. Two factors when choosing tape: the stiffness and the adhesiveness. Okay, so there's a couple different scenarios where you might use tape as a CrossFitter. Most common is thumb taping. And when you are taping your thumbs, I really like something that is more elastic and more adhesive, because typically when you're taping your thumbs, you're taping over the joints in the thumb, and so you want a little bit of flexibility in the material of the tape so that you're not completely locking those joints into place. But you also want something that is really, really sticky, because you don't want the thumb tape flying off or riding down in the middle of your workout. On the other hand, for wrist taping, I prefer more stiffness and less adhesive. So when you're taping over your wrist, you don't want as much adhesive, because there's body hair there, and that can be really uncomfortable. But you also want more stiffness, because you want something that is going to support the joint. So those are the two types of tape that you want to have. Number 8 is a synthetic belt. Why not leather? All Olympic weightlifters, or most Olympic weightlifters, use leather. Yes, they do. But it is unusable in most CrossFit contexts. Takes too long to put on and take off. The thickness and the weight of the leather make it unusable during burpees, as an example. Whereas a synthetic belt is going to be much, much thinner and much, much lighter. So you want to have a synthetic belt that you can use when you need more support in a workout, but also must transition quickly and maybe even need to keep it on during things like burpees and box jumps. If you want to have a leather belt that you use just for lifting and a synthetic belt, that's fine, but a synthetic belt is a must. Number 9, knee sleeves. At some point in your career in CrossFit, you are going to want more knee support. Wraps are usually illegal, and you want something that you can quickly move up and down. Wraps are also very restrictive, so knee sleeves are a must. Thickness is the factor when you are choosing a knee sleeve. There are 3 millimeters, 5 millimeters, and 7 millimeters. I prefer 7 millimeters for anything. For me, it was always 7 millimeters or nothing. I have tried 3 millimeters. It didn't provide very much support at all. It just kind of kept your knees warm. I've never tried 5 millimeters. If you want to have a set at each thickness and get super specific on when you're using each type, that is totally fine. I just found that if I didn't want the 7 millimeter, then I didn't really want anything. The difference between the thicknesses is obviously 7 millimeters is the most supportive, 3 millimeters is less. Definitely have a 7 millimeter pair. That is what Olympic weightlifters use if they're not using wraps. They're using a 7 millimeter knee sleeve. Finally, number 10, clothing. Yes, clothing. Okay, this is one of my pet peeves. One of my pet peeves is CrossFitters not wearing a shirt during cleans. It is ridiculous. Whenever you watch an Olympic weightlifting meet, when it comes to the clean and jerk portion, every single competitor is going to have a shirt on underneath their singlet, even if they didn't have one on during the snatch portion, because the material of the shirt is going to make the bar stick to you better than your bare skin, especially if you are sweating, which you're often sweating more in a CrossFit context than Olympic weightlifters are in their meets. So it is a huge pet peeve of mine whenever I see a sweaty CrossFitter doing cleans without a shirt on. I want to punch the screen that I am watching it on. Get a shirt for your cleans. Okay, now that we got that out of the way, rope climbs. So there are some clothing considerations for the rope climbs. I like to wear double layered high socks for rope climbs. A lot of people like the knee sleeve over the calf look. I think it's mainly a fashion statement. I think socks are way more functional than the knee sleeve. They are certainly lighter than the knee sleeve. And the knee sleeve can also slide down your leg and shift out of position from where you need it. So I recommend double layering and then just wearing high socks for rope climbs, and they provide plenty of protection as long as they're high enough for your lower leg. Finally, compression shorts. During rope climbs, you don't want your thighs to get that burning, itching redness from rope climbs. It's totally unnecessary. Just get a pair of compression shorts that is long enough to protect your thighs during rope climbs. Okay, guys, that is it for today. Those are my 10 essential equipment items for advanced athletes. I will put some of my picks for each of these in the show notes below. If you are listening to this, please rate the show, send it to a friend. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Thank you guys for being here, and I will see you in the next episode.